Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and to every aspect of your world. Today, we're going to be talking about something that's very important to get started with. I tend to put it in stage three, and that's connecting to your money, specifically getting out of debt. This is step one of really connecting to your money. We're going to be talking about concretely how to do that and why it is so freaking important. You really, really need to focus. Before we dive in, a quick shout out to our friends, new listeners in Mumbai, India. Is Samvan Kilie Danivad. Thank you for this connection. We're so excited to have you on board. If you haven't heard, and I'm sure you have, if you're listening to this podcast, and if you have not checked out the new book and album, Purna Asati, they go together. Very exciting. Click through to the link in the show notes and check that out. Absolutely awesome. It turned out 10 times, 100 times better even than I could have possibly imagined. I'm so thrilled with it. And I think you will be too. So everything you could want to know about working your way through all the stages and a very unusual book and an album to go with it. So make sure you click through and check that out. So today we're talking about connecting to your money. And we talk so much about connecting to ourselves or connecting to others. But now it's time to start talking about connecting to different aspects of your life. And nothing can dominate your life more than your money. It should be something that's on your mind quite a bit, whether you have a little or a lot. And you want to connect to your money as well. Why? Because if you don't connect to your money, it will leave you. It will go find someone that it can connect with. And this, what I'm basically saying is very similar to what Dave Ramsey says. Dave Ramsey, phenomenal. Why this man had to write a book to get through to me, I don't know. But it's his principles here that I just think they work so amazingly well. They are simple. They are easy to follow. They are fundamental. And that's a lot of what I'm going to be talking about today. But from the standpoint of using these ideas to connect with your money and what exactly does that mean. So connecting to your money means keeping careful watch on what's coming in and what's going out. Seems easy enough, but the large majority of Americans at least don't do that. They don't keep tabs. They might be keeping tabs on what's coming in, but they rarely keep tabs on what's going out. And this becomes a major problem. Connecting to your money means consciously directing your money to act in your best interests. Right? Consider your beliefs about money that may need to be updated. Are they serving you? Right? Your beliefs about money. This can take a little while to think about. What do I believe about money? Maybe you need to put some new beliefs in place. Maybe you need to start from zero. And you have a relationship with money whether you want one or not, right? It's time to make friends with your money. You might have an abusive relationship with your money. Or you might have a positive relationship with your money, but you have one, I guarantee. So it's time to make friends with your money. Do the right things with your money and more money will come to you in ways that you might not currently imagine. But we sabotage ourselves on this, especially in the West. And I'm going to speak mostly about the United States because it's what I know. But it, as the concept of credit cards and loans and car loans proliferates around the world, even if you currently live in a country where debt is not a thing, it's coming to you soon. And it's not a good thing. Credit card debt, student loans, car loans, personal loans. These are all forms of servitude. Why? Because when you owe somebody money, You owe a credit card money. You owe a bank money on your car, on your house, anything like that. Student loans and things like that. You owe that payment every month. Regardless of your situation, regardless if you have a job, if you lose your job, if you get a new job, it doesn't matter. You owe that money every month for a long duration. Years, sometimes decades. So when you work and you make money, that money's not coming to you. You're working to make money to send to the bank. Your money is not yours. Your time and your effort is not yours. It belongs to that bank or that person that you owe money to. You are their slave. And that's why I say debt is a form of servitude. You're a slave. You're working for the bank or the family member that lent you the money. Your time and your effort belong to them, not you. And this should be terrifying. In many cultures around the world, debt is considered normal. And it gets even worse. Sometimes we're taught that debt is a tool for building assets and building wealth. This is one of the biggest lies that is ever perpetuated. It's a huge one. We hear it in the United States all the time. Debt's a tool. Yeah, it's a tool, all right. It's a tool for the banks to keep you in servitude. That's what it's a tool for. It's a tool for banks and others to keep you under control and to keep your hard-earned money coming to them instead of you. That's what it's a tool for. So if you're not currently in debt, that is awesome. Please, please stay that way. Keep it that way. You will be so glad that you did. If you are currently in debt through student loans, car loans, credit cards, personal loans, payment plans for things you bought, or loans from family members, anything else, getting out of debt needs to be a major priority. Being debt-free will be the foundation of creating an amazing stress-free life. And you don't even realize that the debt's stressing you out until you don't have it anymore. You have no idea the weight that will be lifted off of you. From a practical standpoint, when we think about the payments that you make all the time, imagine what you could do if you did not have these payments to make, if you didn't have debt payments. Well, you could use that money towards something else, right? What could you do? And it wouldn't be weird to see a $300 a month or $600 a month car payment. What if you didn't have a car payment? We'll take that as an example. $300 to $600 a month, what could you do with that? You could save for your dreams. You could make your dreams happen. You could be your own benefactor. You could fund yourself to do that awesome, amazing thing that you've always wanted to do. You could take that class. You could write that book. You could live that lifestyle that you've been dreaming of. You could save up to be financially independent. You could take that money and you could invest it. You could save and invest to the point that you did not need to work at all. And therefore, you could focus on putting your effort 100% into your dreams and your purpose. That's what I did. That's why I'm here talking to you now. Don't laugh. You can do it. And you're like, I couldn't possibly get there. Oh, you could get there. Because I tell you what, it was a lot less than 10 years ago. I was in my late 30s and my net worth was negative $84,000. I was heavily in debt, stupid debt. And I managed to get to a point of independent wealth. And it doesn't take nearly as long as you think it would. So don't throw that idea out and be like, oh, that could never be me. It could totally be you. It could totally be you. How do you do that? Step one, get out of debt so that you can take the money that you're spending on those payments and start putting it towards saving and investing for the dream of being financially independent. That is not needing to work. So instead of you doing for money, money does for you. Now there's a dream. So Dave Ramsey's baby steps and the debt snowball are a tried and true method if you want to get there. I love it. So step one of Dave Ramsey's baby steps is to save a, he says $1,000 emergency fund. Now that $1,000 is based on the about twice or what one large car repair would be in the United States. So if you're in a different country, $1,000 may not be the right number. And obviously you wouldn't be working in dollars. So your initial emergency fund, just let me internationalize this for a moment, needs to be enough to cover a major car repair. Or if you don't have a car, think of something that might happen to your home or a medical issue that could come up. A big one, what would that cost you? One of these things that could come kind of out of the blue. So car repairs are a really nice metric in the Western world because it could happen at any moment. You don't see it coming and it could cost you $1,000 to fix. So something like that. So come up with the equivalent in your situation, in your society. What does that emergency fund need to look like? Now, in the U.S., $1,000 is not a lot of money, not a huge amount, right? It's enough to that people would gladly take it, but it's not, for example, for most people, $1,000, when I say it's not a ton of money, $1,000 in the U.S. is going to be maybe even on a bad day, 2 weeks' work salary. Let's do the numbers on that. So the average person in the U.S. makes $55,000 a year, which oddly is also the poverty line. I'm going to divide that. 2 weeks. Ah, it's 1 week. All right, 1 week of income. So that's another way to think about it. Your initial emergency fund might look like 1 week of your income. So in that sense, comparatively, it's not going to seem like, it's going to matter, but it's not going to seem like huge. We're not asking you to start off by saving a month of your income. We're asking you to start off by saving a week of your income. And that's going to be your baby emergency fund. And what that's going to do is prevent anything like a car repair or something like that from derailing you from paying down your debt. So you're going to take that emergency fund money and you're going to set it aside in a savings account where you can get at it quickly, and then you're going to start paying off your debt. And this is where it gets good. This is where it gets really, really important. So the first thing you're going to do is make a list of every debt that you have. Makes sense, right? Include everything. Credit cards, car loans, student loans, money you owe friends or family, other individuals, payment plans you have on things that you bought and you put it on a payment plan, that's debt. Your home, if you have a mortgage, if you're not renting, if you own your home and you have a mortgage, a lot of people have a second mortgage on the same house. This may sound really weird if you are in other countries where such things don't exist, but that's a thing. So you list them all out. List out every cent that you owe to somebody else. Every bank, every individual, every freaking debt you've got, I want you to list it out. And when you finish this list, your jaw may hit the floor for some people. Or you may feel a sense of relief and say, hey, okay, that's not that bad. All right, I can do this. Or you may have a list so long that you feel it's insurmountable. You may have a list that looks like 2-3 years of your income in size. Okay. But let's face it, that step one is facing reality. Let the weight of your reality settle on you. Acknowledge you're going to feel fear. You're going to feel anxiety. You're going to feel overwhelmed. And the fear and anxiety may come even if your debt list is not that big. Let's say you've just got one student loan and that's it. You don't have any car loans. You don't have, right? Maybe you're right out of college and you don't have a car loan yet. Good job. Keep it that way. And all you've got is maybe one small student loan. That's an amazing position to be in, especially when you're young. Even then, it can feel a little fear, a little anxiety. And if you don't feel fear and anxiety when you look at that debt, you need to start feeling fear and anxiety, because this is what's going to drive you to get rid of that thing. So acknowledge how this makes you feel. Let it be. Let those feelings come. Let them wash over you. This too is being human. And then say, okay, this debt, this list, this fear-inducing thing has got to go. Set your determination and make it solid. This ends today. No more new debt ever as long as I live. I will never take on debt again. Of any form, not to people, not to banks, not for cars, sure as hell not for vacations, absolutely freaking not, ever. Then I want you to take your list of your debts and I want you to order them from smallest to largest. And the reason you do smallest to largest, because you can order them in lots of different ways, right? But smallest to largest works really well. This is the order that you're going to use to pay them off. And you do it this way, and this is not the payments are smallest to largest, but the debt itself, the total debt you owe from the smallest total debt to the largest total debt. And you do it this way because it builds momentum, psychological advantage. And it continually adds more money to your efforts all the time. And we'll talk about that in a second. So next, make a list of all the money you have in any account, savings accounts, checking accounts, investments. What do you have that you can put towards paying off this debt? Do it today. And it'll be really painful at first to see your savings go towards this debt, but this is an important first step. Now, if you have retirement accounts, you don't touch those for this step, but you do stop contributing to your retirement accounts long enough to get out of debt. All of your income resources go towards getting out of debt. All of your savings resources go towards getting out of debt, except that little baby emergency fund that you made on the front end. Everything else goes. And it can be really hard, really painful at first to see how your savings is going towards this debt. But this is a really critical first step. So the next thing you're going to do is you're going to make a budget. So you pay after you've paid off as much of this debt as you can with your current savings, if you have any. Now you need a plan. You're going to make a budget. Call it a spend plan if that feels better. That's what I do. I like to call it a spend plan because it's not a restriction. It's a plan. You are choosing where your money is going to go. You're making a conscious decision on where to send your money, how to use your money. So it's a plan. It's a plan to spend. And that's really what it is. But you can call it a budget, whatever you like, or pick a different word. Call it Fred. I don't care. But you're going to make one every month. You're going to list out your expenses, and you're going to list out what money you have coming in. And you're going to cut your expenses to the core. There are likely a lot of things you can do without, just for a while, just really, really for a little while you pay off your debts. Get creative. What do you not need? So let me give you some examples. When I was paying off my debts, I decided I didn't need to eat out. And even my groceries, I could eat a lot cheaper. I decided that for the next, 6 months or so, maybe I don't need new clothes. I don't need to go shopping. I don't need to take a vacation. As Dave Ramsey says, I don't need to see the inside of a restaurant unless I'm working there. Then I went a little further. That felt good. So I decided I don't need TV. I thought I did need internet at the time, so I kept that. Kept a cell phone. But everything else just went by the wayside. I didn't need it. Cut those expenses all the way down. Get really creative. You need a lot less than you think you do. Now remember, this is only temporary, so that at the end of paying off your debt, you can bring back as much of this as you want, if not more. So this isn't forever. This is just to get serious and make this happen faster. The key is going to be sticking to your spend plan ruthlessly and paying off your debts one by one from the smallest to the largest. And you will be amazed at the momentum and the positive energy that you're going to feel as you carry this out. It feels amazing. As each debt is paid off and you no longer have that payment to make each month, and that's more money that you can put then towards the next debt, right? So let's say, your smallest debt has is kind of short term. It may be a car loan or something like that, but you're paying $300 a month towards it. Well, when you finish paying that off, that's $300 a month you could put towards the next one. And this is why they call it a snowball, because it adds up and adds up. So you're putting bigger and bigger amounts as you knock out each debt down the list. And it works so extraordinarily well. So read about the baby steps on Dave Ramsey's website. So that's Dave Ramsey, DaveRamsey.com. Listen to his shows and podcasts for inspiration. When I was working my way out of debt, I listened to his podcasts because they're free. I didn't have to pay for them because I'm trying to get out of debt. But I read his website voraciously. I checked out his books from the library because it was free. And I listened to his podcast to keep me motivated, to keep me on track. I would listen to him every single day just to keep me in the right frame of mind while I was making this happen so that I wouldn't slip. So when you do this activity, you're going to get in this habit of, before each month begins, so like I do it on the last day of each month, I make a spend plan for the next month and I stick to it. And I still do that to this day. And this is a habit that is going to take you into the level of independent wealth. Just that action of making a spend plan for each month and sticking to it, knowing that if you need to do something different, you can do something different next month, but this month, this is the plan. That right there connects you to your money. And money likes to have a plan. Money likes to know where to go and what to do. And it will work for you. And it's crazy how when you treat your money right, more of it comes. I can't explain it, but it's the river of your life working for you. It brings you resources when you use those resources correctly. Now, as you're getting out of debt, let me connect this idea with some of the things we've talked about before, like manifesting. you want to get out of debt. So when you're doing, if you've been paying attention and you worked your way through stage two, when you sit down and do your meditation and prayer practices, you're probably including some form of manifesting in that, some form of asking for what you want. Ask for help with this. Just ask for help. And let God, Allah, the Tao, the river of your life, help you. And use that also to stay focused. But you can ask for assistance with this. It might look like a second job. It might look like getting a raise at work or the opportunity to put in overtime. It could look like a lot of things. So if you ask just sort of generically for help, getting out of debt tends to be one of those things that if you ask for help, the universe will deliver. It does not want you to be in servitude to anybody else. So that's enough preaching on the soapbox today. If you have questions about this idea of how to get out of debt, if you have nuances, I have been there and done that. I'm happy to help. You can also send questions into Dave Ramsey at daveramsey.com at his website. You can contact him there. Absolutely phenomenal stuff. So make it happen. This is important. Get it started now. It could take a while. Now, when you look at all of this, you go, oh my God, it's going to take me 5 years to pay off my debt. Fine. Do it. You may look at it and say, you know what? I think I can knock this out in like 3 or 4 months. Cool. Do it. Don't put it off. Make it happen as fast as you possibly can. You have no idea the level of freedom you're going to feel when it's gone. It is so worth it. All right. So make sure you send your questions in here as well. Check out the new book and the album in the show notes. And until next time, I'm wishing you, Perna Asati, complete connection to your money and everything else.